This morning, I'd like to read to you from Proverbs chapter 8, verses 34 and verse 35. Happy is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting beside my doors. For he who finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord.
There's all this pressure, you know? And sometimes it feels like it's right up on me, and I can just feel it, like literally feel it in my head, and it's relentless, and I don't know if it's going to stop. I mean, that's the thing that scares me the most, is that I don't know if it's ever going to stop.
Yeah. Well, you do have a nail in your head.
It is not about the nail.
Are you sure? Because, I mean, I'll bet if we got that out of there...
Stop trying to fix it.
No, I'm not trying to fix it. I'm just pointing out that maybe the nail is causing...
You always do this. You always try to fix things when what I really need is for you to just listen. No,
see, I don't think that is what you need. I think what you need is to get the nail
out.
See,
you're not even listening now.
Okay, fine. I will listen. Fine.
It's just... Sometimes it's like... There's this achy... I don't know what it is... And I'm not sleeping very well at all. And all my sweaters are snagged. I mean, all of them.
Yeah, that sounds really hard.
It is. Thank you. Ow!
Come on, ow. If you would just...
Don't!
Try to see things my way. Do I have to keep on talking till I...
So who's a good listener? Proverbs 8:34-35 says, happy is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting beside my doors. For he who finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. How many of you, if I were to ask you this morning, would tell me that you're a good listener? Anyone here a good listener? All right. I got 7 questions I'm going to ask, and we're going to determine how good of listeners we really are. Since the average person thinks 4 times faster than the average person talks, do you use that time to think about other things, or do you remain in the conversation? Do you listen primarily for facts or ideas? Do you avoid listening to feelings that you find too difficult to understand? Can you tell by a person's appearance and demeanor whether what they have to say is worthy to be listened to before they even begin? When someone's talking, do you appear to be paying attention when you're really thinking about something else? Do you use words or phrases to get the answer you want so that you really don't have to listen? When listening, are you distracted by outside sounds and sights? The ancient book of Proverbs opens up and it says that there is one who sits at the gate and they listen. They're attentive. They're studious. They know that the teacher wisdom has something to say, and it's of the utmost importance. And it's literal. What they say is what they mean, and they're going to pay attention. Wisdom personified is the one who speaks. And the hearer wants to imitate it. Picture for a moment a devoted pupil. You go to your university class, and if you were like me, you would sit in the very front row. Back then, we had pen and paper. We didn't have laptops. We didn't have cell phones, but we had tape recorders, and we recorded every lecture, and we sat at the front so that we wouldn't be distracted. Extra pen and extra paper was there because we knew that every word the professor said was going to be important, and so were recorded. It's like the church member who sits at the front because they don't want to be distracted. Bible in hand, pen and paper ready to go because they know that God is going to speak. And they want to be sure that they get to record it. It's like the athlete who goes and sit at the foot of his or her coach. And they're not playing with the ball or they're not playing with the puck and they're not fidgeting because they know that the coach has experience. The coach can be trusted. And if the coach is teaching a skill or teaching a drill, there's a reason for it. And they want to be sure not to miss it. Here, there is one who sits at the foot of wisdom. Not for 5 minutes, not for 10 minutes, but for a long time. And they're not easily distracted. They're not thinking about what they're going to have for lunch today. They're not going to think about what they're doing for the rest of the Canada Day weekend. They're not looking at their watch wondering what they could be doing right now. No, but the hearer in our passage is listening to wisdom and they just can't get enough. Ever thought about what we're listening to or who we listen to? Think of Plato and Aristotle and Descartes and Immanuel Kant, the great philosophers of the day. They've all come to the same conclusion, is that we listen to things that we shouldn't always listen to. They've come to the resolution, as have many people today, that wisdom is found in our own intellect, in our own ability, and from there we're able to do and resolve anything that we want. I mean, wisdom has shown us how to govern our society, right? How to grow crops, how to take care of an economy. But haven't we begun to found that overwhelmingly human wisdom has left us at a loss? How has human wisdom in our ability to listen to ourselves done in the midst of an economy around the world that is shrinking and we don't know how to navigate it and navigate a housing crisis? We've relied on our own wisdom so well that we thought we knew how to control nature. And yet flooding seems to be more and more of a commonality even in our own country. Wisdom. How do we learn wisdom? A man was about to retire from the bank, and the young protege who was going to take over as the CEO of the bank asks the question, "How do I become successful?" The president said, "You make wise decisions." To which he said, "How do I make wise decisions?" In one word, the president says, "Experience." "Well, how do I get experience?" The president said, "Make unwise decisions." The problem is, we begin to think and we begin to listen to our own story, to our own wisdom, to our own ability, and we look at where it's gotten us. Wisdom is the person who listens attentively to wisdom's voice, who is all ears and is ready to hear and do what it says. It strikes me that our passage says that happy is the person who listens or who is fulfilled, who is content in their life is one who listens. Listening is an excellent way to learn. Listening rather than talking helps us see new understanding and new ways to live. Listening is enriching. I think it's not only for children, but for adults. How do you think children learned not to cross the street without looking both ways? Because they've listened. Where did children learn proper hygiene? Well, they listened to that instruction about washing their hands and brushing their teeth for 2 minutes. But I think also in life, for you and I as adults, there's something about listening. Everybody I've ever met in life has wished that there would be somebody that would listen to them. If you can listen sympathetically and understandingly, you will never be in want or a lack of friends. And you will find that people will begin to open you and tell you their story. Good listening is like finally tuning in to a radio station. And when you turn to that radio station, that frequency is clear and you can hear the music or the speaker that you want to hear. But if you truly want to hear the radio station, you got to be on the right frequency. And what I believe happens in life is that life is like that radio station, is that we're doing so many things. Someone's having a conversation with you. Maybe you're going out for dinner and somebody's texting or doing an email. You're not really listening, are you? Or you're having a conversation maybe with a friend or with a spouse, and they're reading a book while you're having the conversation. They're not really attentive. It's kind of like the radio station where it begins to get mixed and untuned, and the frequency is very good. There's a need to listen. Think about how much that means in a marriage, of how much that means in a church. I wonder how many of the world's problems could be resolved if we actually listened to what was being said. The passage talks about a different kind of listening and a different kind of wisdom. A wisdom that comes from God, who created the heavens and the earth and who said to man, now subdue it and take care of it. Look after the livestock and the land and the waters. It is a creative hand and working of God that has given us the ability to think about space travel, to think about agriculture, of science. All these are gifts from God. Happy, content, fulfilled is the one who sits at the city gates, the author of Proverbs writes, and he is fulfilled. For he not only hears, but he does what the word says. I think of that full significance for you and I in the person of Jesus. Look how we get there. Proverbs 8. The Lord brought me forth as the first of his works. Before his deeds of old, I was appointed from eternity. From beginning, before the world began, I was there when he set the heavens in place, when he marked out the horizon on the face of the deep. Then I was the craftsman at his side. Do you catch the significance? John 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. Or how about from Paul? He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, for by him all things were created. The author of Proverbs says, he who finds me finds life. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. John says, he who finds the Son finds life. And it's there in the tension of the story of Jesus that we find out the meaning of life, where we find out truly how to listen. For we open our ears and we hear the story of God in the chirping of a bird, in the rushing of a waters. It's there that we learn to listen to each other. But it's here in the story of God, that we learn to listen to him with a simple phrase that begins like this: speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. You see, God wants to speak to you this morning. God has a word for you. God has something that you personally, in your own journey, in your own story of faith, need to hear from him this morning. The question is, are we listening? Do we truly believe that God will speak and God has a word for us? And the answer is, he does. And you see, God comes to you right where you are, right in the midst of your story, right in the midst of the tensions of your life, in the celebrations, in the doubts, in the struggles, in the frustration. God comes right into your story and he says, I want to meet with you. Are you ready to listen? Let me prove it to you. The opening of Scripture just after the fall. Adam and Eve had just eaten of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And what does God say? Where are you? Adam, Eve, where are you? I want to come and I want to meet with you. Happy is the one who listens. He sits at the door of the gate of the city. Here is ancient Jerusalem. And I don't think we get the significance of this, but there at the front of the gate would be closed and they would be protected from their enemy. It was there at the beginning of the gate where the elders and the pagans would begin to meet to discuss business. It was there that business was done, judgments were made, cases were heard. It's the place where Absalom tried to steal the hearts of Israel. It was the presence in that city gate where anybody who wanted to know anything about what was going on would come to the city gate. That's where the decisions were made. And so right there, in the presence of all that God is doing in the city gate, is the story of your life, at the door of your life, God is there and God wants to speak. And so he invites you and I this Canada Day weekend to open his word, to be still in the presence of God, and to say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. I don't know what it's like for you, but I think we're so busy in our world that we may be coming to church this morning, but our minds may already be on something else. We sit down and we open the Bible and we want to pray and we're already thinking about what's next, what we got to do or how we got to rush out the door and get to work. But what I've come to learn is that if we want to live the fulfilled and contented life, it begins with Jesus. And Jesus this morning comes to you and says, I want to meet you. Are you ready? So let me lay out a challenge for you this morning. Are we willing to stop in the busyness of our lives to hear from the creator of the world, the redeemer of our souls, and block out 5 minutes a day where the phone is turned off, the technology is put away, where we simply open up God's word and we don't talk. We simply just read. We simply just listen. And to say, God, what do you want to say to me this week? And I will guarantee you, you will be amazed at what God will say and what God will do in your story and in your walk with him as you carve out that time just to listen to what he has to say. Because he's got a great, great story to tell you. And it begins with this. You're his. And you're dearly loved. He loves you more than you could ever imagine. And then he's got a plan for you. A plan beyond your wildest expectations. And ultimately it will lead to eternity with God. Will we stop this week and meet with the one who can be counted on no matter what? Amen. Oh, easier said than done, isn't it? As we come into prayer this morning, there are a few things we want to remember. We want to continue to remember Julie's mom as she continues to be in palliative care. We want to remember the Algorithma family with the sudden passing of Peter and Evie's nephew and your cousin as well. And just wanted to pray for comfort and strength for you guys during this time as well. And as you walk with your brother-in-law and sister-in-law and your extended family, just want to pray God's grace upon you. And we also, I know we quickly mentioned it last week, but we also want to officially say goodbye to the Shanks. This is the Shanks' last Sunday with us. They've been here for, 24 years? 25 years. Wow, that's a long time. And we're just very thankful for the gifts that God has given to you. But we want to pray a new blessing as you make your way to Barrie and as you begin a new job as the principal of the Christian school there. But for a family, we just pray that you will be a blessing in whatever church you find there as you have been to us. And not only as the pastor, but as a friend, just want to simply say, yeah, you're going to be missed. And so God's richest blessing as you make your way to Barrie. Would you pray with me? Lord, there are moments in our story where we need to hear from you more than we have at any other point. There are moments in our story where we simply need to hear your words of grace and of mercy. And Lord, I think of that for the Algorithma family, Lord, as they mourn the loss of a relative. Lord, a young relative. And Lord, we just pray that you would be with Peter and Evie and John and Tim and Allison as they walk, Lord. Whether aunt and uncle or brother-in-law and sister-in-law, Lord, through this hard time, we pray that you would comfort them and strengthen them and refresh them. And Lord, when there are no words, that you would simply allow their presence to be an example of grace and action to their family. Lord, we just pray for this mom and dad during this time as well. Lord, probably with so many questions, Lord, we pray that you would refresh them. We pray that you would speak to them. In the midst of those questions, Lord, we just pray that you would powerfully enter into their story and that they'd be able to ask the hard questions, that they'd be able to wrestle with it, but that you would be near them, Lord, that you would uphold them and refresh them and strengthen them and give them everything that they stand in need of. Lord, we thank you that you are always with us. Lord, we want to remember Julie's mom, Lord, in palliative care. We just pray that your hand of healing would be upon her, that you would refresh her and sustain her and equip her. Would you be with Bruce's brother as well, Lord, as he walks through another's bout with cancer, Lord, that you would be near him and with the doctors for wisdom and for guidance. Lord, we think of our own stories in the area where we need healing. Maybe not physical, but maybe it's emotional. Maybe it's spiritual. That you would walk into our story this morning and that we would experience your touch and your grace. Lord, would you be with the Shanks? Lord, as we think about life, there are also sad but exciting moments of new beginnings. We just pray that you would be with them as this week they pack up and they begin their move to Barrie. Lord, we just pray that it would be a smooth move and a smooth transition. Lord, that Barrie would feel like at home very, very quickly for them. That they would find a place to worship, to continue their faith journey, to use their gifts and to bless the town of Barrie as they have been a blessing to us here. We pray that you would watch over that move. We pray to you that you would watch over that transition, or not only to a new job, but to new schools for Zach and Noah. We pray that that would be well and that friendships would form quickly. And Lord, we thank you. We thank you for this free country in which we get to live. We thank you that we have the opportunity to worship, to enjoy the beauty and the splendor of all that this country has to offer as a gift from you. And Lord, may we find our wisdom. May we find our contentment and fulfillment in you. May we learn to listen to the right person rather than all the things of the world, and know that our lives are shaped and molded and held by a good and a loving and a faithful and a gracious God who loves us more than we could ever imagine. And so it's my prayer this week that for all of us, that we'd be able to carve out some time intentionally to simply listen. To listen to what you want to say into our story. And that we would have ears to hear. And that we'd be awed and amazed at what the Creator and the Redeemer of the world has in store for us. And may we find that. May we find that contentment and that fulfillment in life from you and you alone. In your name we pray. Amen.